Hello, welcome to the last day of 2023 and Walking Movies. I'm Nick, and we're gearing up for the finale of it's been an interesting year. It's been full of highs and lows, which, I mean, come on, that's not going to be unique to me, is it? I'm sure you've got similar experiences. What's up with my head? That's better. I'm sure we've all got stories of good things and bad things, but it's the end of the year and I have got two more movies to go and see before this year's out at the cinema. I've also got to try and catch up with a few films that I haven't had a chance to see at the cinema, but I'm determined to try and watch. I mean, it won't be before the end of the year. I haven't got time. It'll be first few days, but there's a few films that came out that I wasn't able to see, like Past Lives is one, and there's a couple more. I know, I just can't think of them right now, that I wanted to see. And if I'm going to be doing my top films of 2023, I feel I need to see those as well before I make that. So this is going to be the last Walking Movies of the year. The next video on this channel will be me looking back at the year in film and picking out my top picks of films that came out this year. There'll be some interesting choices in there, I'm sure. And that's it. So what am I going to go and see? Well, this is a bit of cheat because I've already actually seen one of them, but I didn't get a chance to film an intro for it. So I saw The Boy and the Heron yesterday, which is obviously the new Studio Ghibli film. I wanted to see the dubbed version because of the voice cast. We couldn't see the dubbed version. It was too packed. It was only showing in like a really small screen at the cinema, and it was too packed, so we couldn't go. So we had to see the original language version, the subtitled version, and that's what we did. But the thing is, to be fair, I probably wouldn't have seen the original language version had I watched the American dub first. So this way I get to watch it again at a later date with the American voice cast. So I will talk about that film later, maybe in a separate video, I don't know. You'll see from this video title what I discuss. But a film that I'm going to see today, and why I'm recording this intro, is Next Goal Wins, the latest film from Taika Waititi. Now, this film has been going about for years. I'm almost certain that when Thor Ragnarok came out in 2018, I think, that this was announced as being his next film. And yet, here we are. It came out in America at the end of the last few months of 2023, and it opened here in the UK on Boxing Day with The Boy and the Heron, with Ferrari. There's a couple of other films that came out all on Boxing Day. It was a very packed week, surprisingly. So I've heard about this film for a long time. It's based on a documentary, based on a real life event about the American Samoa football team, who had the worst record of all professional football teams in the world by FIFA rankings. Had some horrendous results, like 31 or something like that. It might have been 30-0 actually. But, you know, they just notoriously couldn't get results. And so they made a documentary about it. And the documentary is called Next Goal Wins. And that's what this is, kind of, you know, based on the story, based on the documentary. So it's been in development / filming for a long time for it to come out. I mean, normally when a film has I'm sure I read it finished filming in 2021. So films of this nature do not have long post-production times, because it's not like it's a special effects driven film. So it's interesting why this was kind of so delayed. And I've not read any reviews, I try not to do, but I know that it kind of just disappeared in America. Doesn't seem to be much Oscar buzz about it. And what I have seen is like a kind of mixed bag of reviews. Now, Taika Waititi's interesting. I've still never seen his first full-length feature. It's called Boy, if I remember correctly. But I was a big fan of Hunt for the Wilder People. I loved Thor Ragnarok. Loved Jojo Rabbit, which I know is kind of controversial to say, but I've really enjoyed it every time I've seen it. And it was only really with Thor Love and Thunder that I was like, what's going on here then? So I walk into this film, you know, not sure what's kind of make of it. I do, of course, hope it's funny. Michael Fassbender leads the cast. I saw a trailer for it, which looked pretty good. But I was going to see this film regardless. Like, I didn't seek out a trailer. I just happened to watch a film. Might have even been Aquaman, I can't remember, but where I played a trailer for it. No, it must have been Wonka. It must have been Wonka, because my wife saw the trailer as well, and there's not many films that we've both seen at cinema together this year. So that's it. That's Next Goal Wins. I don't really have too much more to add to it. I'm going to go and watch it and tell you my thoughts afterwards. And, you know, who knows? This could be a late contender for, you know, being one of the best films of 2023. Or it might not be. Who knows? That's the beauty, isn't it, of going to see films. You can never tell until you watch it. So, yeah. Actually, while I'm on that, I need to remind myself that I need to update my letterbox, man. I've let that slide. But last week we watched Bottoms. And we also watched The Killer on Netflix. The Killer is latest from David Fincher. Also signed Michael Fassbender, actually. I forgot about that. But it's kind of the link between the two films. And Bottoms was a kind of like homage to old high school teen comedies of like the late 90s and early 2000s with A.O. Debris and Rachel Sonnet. I can't remember my name, so I think it's Rachel Sonnet. But that was very funny, actually. One of the funniest films I've seen this year. So I need to add those to the list, because both of those came to the cinema but went very quickly. In fact, The Killer didn't even get a release in my local cinema. It seemed to be kind of more art house cinemas showing it, not the chains. It's disappointing. But that's a good film. Enjoyed that as well. So I'll have to mention that on Letterboxd and remind myself, that's a mental note, to try and do that later. So yeah. Right. I'm going to start recording. And I'll be back in a bit to tell you what I thought of Taika Waititi's Next Goal Wins. I've just come out of Next Goal Wins, and full disclosure, I watched it lunchtime, 12 o'clock screening, and it's the perfect kind of afternoon film, I think. Like, if that was on the TV on a Sunday afternoon, it'd be a good watch. I really enjoyed it. It was not particularly empty, full screening, it was quite empty. And there was a lot of people laughing, considering there wasn't many people there. And I didn't find it as funny as some of the other people did, but it wasn't not funny. I don't know, I thought the humour was quite light. didn't kind of, you know, I laughed internally. It wasn't laugh out loud funny. That's what I'm kind of getting at. Why did it take me so long to say that? I don't know. But yeah, I thought the film was charming. I thought it was really charming. It kind of had a similar kind of vibe to things like Cool Runnings, those kind of underdog sport films of that ilk. And I think the casting's obviously great because there's a lot of people, you know, from either American Samoa or New Zealand actors, so of that part of the world. And I think that's what I enjoyed about films like Hunt for the Wilder People, is the fact that you saw these new actors who were great, but you hadn't seen them before. So I think in that regard, it's a big success as well. Michael Fassbender is Irish in it. I'm not sure if the man in real life was Irish. I'm going to have to find that out. But it's a problem I've had with some of his performances over the years, is he can do good accents, but he can also slip out of accents quite easily. So I'll be interested to find out more about the original guy. And I'm quite keen to watch the documentary it's based on now. But no, I thought it was a really an easy watch, an enjoyable watch. It's funny, a bit heartwarming. There's a character who's transgender, which I thought was handled quite well. I can't claim to be an expert, so I don't know if it was or not, but I felt that it was done quite tastefully, respectfully. But yeah, it was a nice film. It was a nice film. Not one of the best films I've ever seen, but, you know, if you like that kind of genre of, you know, underdog sports comedy based on real events, obviously, you know, not completely based on real events, make a joke about that at the beginning as well, but I just found it enjoyable and just nice, and sometimes it's just what you need, you know, just something nice that makes you smile, and yeah, leaves you feeling a bit warm. What would I give it? I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. You know, I will watch this again at some point when it comes onto Disney Plus. Happily watch that again with the family. And it was a nice time. Definitely more like his earlier work than his kind of big budget stuff. And that was nice as well. I enjoyed it. I recommend it. Should you go and see it at the cinema? You know what, over this period, yeah, absolutely. Why not? You know, if you want to get out of the house a little bit. But, you know, I can't say it commands to be seen on the big screen. You know, it will easily be as enjoyable at home as it was at the cinema. But, you know, I don't think... The Boy and the Heron, obviously Wonka, people want to see Wonka, Godzilla's out. You know, I would probably... Godzilla, you need to see it on the big screen. Boy and the Heron also probably deserves that as well, but Wonka and that, you could probably wait for those to come out at home. But it's definitely worth a watch, that's the point. Go and watch this if you fancy having a bit of a laugh and to feel smiley afterwards. So that's the last cinema trip of 2023. All that's left now is for me to kind of wrap things up and give you my thoughts on the films of the year. So thank you for everyone that's watched some of these videos, supported me in any way, reached out to me. Very appreciated. And, you know, Happy New Year. I'll see you in 2024. God, time's flying. But until next time, Flynn lives. I'll see you soon. So I realised when trying to edit this video, I hadn't actually talked about The Boy and the Heron. And I didn't want to do a separate video for The Boy and the Heron. I'll tell you why, because there's not that much to talk about. It's a Studio Ghibli film. It's beautifully animated. The story is pretty nuts. But is it enjoyable? Absolutely. And should you see it? Yes. Now, I mentioned, I think, in the beginning of the video, that when we saw it in the original language with the subtitles. It was a first time. It's not the first ever film, because I remembered we was talking about it, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. When that film came out, it was a subtitle film. It's not the first subtitle film that I've ever seen at the cinema, but it is the first in a long time. We're starting to watch a lot more things at home with subtitles, because of like the awful sound mixing with a lot of stuff. So it actually was fine. Like, there was no problem watching it with subtitles. To get the authentic experience, subtitles is obviously the way to go. I've seen clips of the American dub, and it does look very good, actually. And as I said earlier, when I watch the film again, I will watch the American dub. But if your cinema's only showing the subtitled version, or if, like we experienced, we couldn't get into the dubbed version, and the only option we had was to see the subtitled version, should you go and see it? Yeah, absolutely. What would I give The Boy and the Heron? I would give The Boy and the Heron 8.5, which kind of goes against it, because I don't like giving halves to things, but it was an 8.5. Absolutely stunning animation. The story is insane. But it was heartwarming and emotional. It would have made a good double bill, actually, with Next Girl Wins. But yeah, I highly recommend it. Should you go and see this at the cinema? Yes. The animation just looks so beautiful on a big screen. That I think if you can get the chance to see it on a big screen, do so. I don't know who's going to stream it. Netflix, at least in Europe, seems to have most of the Studio Ghibli films on there. But I don't know if this... I don't know if it was just a back catalogue, but it was Future Films as well when that deal was signed. So it might show up in there, but I've got no idea. So yeah, I would say try and actually watch the film at the cinema. That's my advice. So yeah, The Boy and the Heron. So that's it. That really is the last of this year. I will see you in 2024 with the roundup of, you know, 2023 in review. Until then, Flynn lives.